Lord bless your word. Yeah.
Sorry, your prayers this morning.
Amen.
Still a little bit under the weather, but by the help of the Lord, desire to deliver the burden the Lord has given us. As I was looking around the chapel today, I was encouraged to see all the older saints still pressing on.
Amen.
Thank the Lord.
And my mind went back to when I was growing up in Akron, Ohio.
Uh-huh.
About 8 or 9 years old,
uh-huh.
Brother Carl used to come
yeah.
to our meeting.
Uh-huh.
And he's still going at it.
Yeah, thank the
that
Lord.
Encourages me.
Thank, yeah. Well, thank the Lord.
Desire your prayers. We have a particular burden.
Yeah.
Lord has given us.
Word.
Lord, impress this upon our heart, uh-huh. and we trust that we can get it over to you as he has given it to us.
Yeah, Lord bless.
Many of us are familiar with scriptures in Joshua, the account of the children of Israel going into the promised land mm-hmm. and doing some conquering there mm-hmm. and began to take the heritage that God had ordained for them.
Yeah.
In the 13th chapter, of Joshua, I would like to read verses 1 through 6. It says, now Joshua was old and stricken in years. Some people this morning was talking about their age. Joshua was old and stricken in years.
Yeah.
The Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years.
Yeah.
The Lord recognized uh-huh. he was old and stricken in years.
Yeah.
But the Lord said something else.
All right.
He said, and there remaineth yet very much land that people be possessed.
Oh, yeah.
And he began through the next series of verses to tell them, to tell Joshua what land still needed to be possessed.
Yeah.
The Lord didn't let Joshua off the hook, did he?
No.
He told him there's still some work to do.
Yeah.
Joshua could have said, I'm old, stricken in years. But he continued to do the work of the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.
Now let's look at verse or chapter 14. There was another young man with Joshua when they went to spy that land out.
Yes.
And these men were in their 40s and 50s. Mm-hmm. Now they're in their 80s. Mm-hmm. And this is what the Lord impressed strongly upon our heart uh-huh. here in the 14th chapter. Starting at verse 6, then the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my Amen. God.
Amen.
And Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance
yeah.
and thy children's forever,
yeah.
because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God.
Yeah.
And behold, And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive.
Yeah.
As he said these 45 years,
yeah.
even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, uh-huh. while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness,
yeah.
And now, lo, I am this day 85 years.
Yeah.
85 years old.
Yeah.
Yet, as yet, I am as strong this day,
my Lord,
as I was in the day that Moses sent me. And as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Listen to this verse right here. Now therefore, give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Achaeans were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. Caleb is 85 years old, and he is not afraid to still go to battle. He said, I'm just as strong now as I was then. Maybe he wasn't quite the physical strength, but if you account the wisdom that he had learned over them 45 years from walking with God, seeing him conquer nation after nation. He said, give me this mountain. This particular mountain that he's talking about was Hebron. It was a fortified place. It was a place that was well known that the giants had established their defenses. It didn't discourage him. He said, give me this mountain. I know that God has already made me a promise that all the land that I have stepped upon belongs to us. And I'm ready to claim it. So as we consider these men, well stricken in years, they hadn't lost a fight. And that's an encouragement to everybody that's walking this world today. We got a fight on our hands. There's some things going on in this world that is challenging our very faith.
Amen.
But we don't have to give up the fight.
Amen.
We're on the right side. God is the one. He said, I'm going to give you this land. And so they proceeded to conquer the land. You know that Hebron, after Caleb established his family there, this is also the same place that God sent David to set him as king over Judah. The same place that David raised his children. The same place that Rehoboam was king and established a defense. And also the same place that was a refuge when Nehemiah was walking around. His one deed of conquering this land made a refuge for generations. This great salvation that we have, if we will conquer the land that the Lord has for us, even beyond the years we think we can, it can be a refuge for those coming behind. I'm 40 some years old, but I am encouraged when I see people in their 80s still living for God in this day and time. Most people say, well, I'm 80 years old, I reserve the right to stay at home. But you still fight, still pressing out, still importuning on people's behalf before the Lord. And that's what Joshua and Caleb, this is what was exceptional about them. Every breath I have, as long as God gives me life, whether I'm 40 or whether I'm 80, I'm going to claim the ground he has.
Amen.
He said, give me my mountain. Have you ever walked around a mountain? There's not a lot of paths, are there? It's not a road that's well traveled. Sometimes when you get up high enough, you got to make your own path. But let me tell you something about the mountain. It has a great view. You can look out off that mountain and see people coming along the path. You can point out the pitfalls that they might run into.
Yeah.
You can get a glimpse of the goal and of the prize. You know, the sun is always shining on the mountain. As we flew in here this morning, the plane was above the clouds, and we could see mountain peaks. It was cloudy everywhere else.
Yes.
And the sun was out. The sun didn't come out till later on today. But the sun is always out on the mountain. God's presence on the mountain is always there. It's a place where you can find the joy, the peace, the rest, the contentment. We have a lot of people who are Christians that are not content. They wander here, wander there. And that's because they haven't gone after the mountain.
That's true. Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And as we come down through those clouds, the plane starts shaking. And I thought about the turbulent places in people's lives when they're down there in the clouds. Can't see where you're going. Getting tossed around. But Caleb said, give me my mountain. I want you to consider some other mountains that are mentioned in the Bible. Mount Horeb. Do you know that Moses never would have ran into that burning bush if he didn't go to a mountain?
That's true.
But while he was up there all by himself in the mountain, he met God.
That's right.
And God spoke to him in the burning bush, gave him direction. Moses wasn't that young.
No.
And he led a people out of bondage.
Amen.
Then he was not afraid to go up into Mount Sinai to meet with God again. Get the Ten Commandments, the standard for living for every human being. He had to go up the mountain to get that. Do you see a pattern here? God dwells in the mountain. And he wants people to seek him out in the mountain. A lot of people will settle in the plains, in the valleys. But if you really want to get close to God, give me this mountain. Because that's where it is. Moses was not blessed to go into the promised land. But the Lord let him see it on Mount Pisgah. He got to look over the whole land. This is what I've given to my children. When we consider the spiritual mountains, these are places that people don't like to travel too often because it requires some effort. You're going to spend some time with God to get to the mountain. There's going to be some challenges along the way, some slippery places. There was a spot up here in the high desert that I used to go fishing. The best fishing spot was on the other side of the mountain. There was a narrow little path that you had to climb, about 8 steps that someone had made. And the path was about 1 foot wide. And it went along the cliff, maybe about 100 feet. One day I was up there with all my gear, and I slipped on that path. Fishing rods caught me on the bushes. It's a 30-foot drop off the ledge. But when I would make my way around that corner to that spot, I always caught fish. And they were not small. It took effort to get into that spot. Everybody else will come to the lake and go right where they right where the shore was.
Yeah.
Fish it out! But I wanted to catch big fish.
Yeah.
So I would take that path on the mountain to get to that spot.
Yeah.
The Lord knows the heart of each and every one.
Yeah.
He knows how much strength you have.
Yeah.
He knows what your desire is.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you know what else he knows? He knows what his plan is for you.
Yes.
And when you think you've done all that you could do, the Lord has a little bit more.
Yeah.
Because he sees what his grace and power can do in the life of a person.
Yes.
Yeah.
And even at an advanced age,
yeah,
he can still work.
That's right.
He can. These can be mountain experiences that you affect your whole family for multiple generations. You remember Joshua? The Lord told him to fight the Midianites. Mm-hmm. And he took them up on Mount Gilead. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said, "It's too many of you."
Oh, yeah.
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 And he narrowed it down to 300. Mm-hmm. Now, in our logical mind, 300 men is not enough to win a battle. But in God's mind, 300 men that can follow directions is more than enough to win a battle. And they took the Midianites down. There's something that I'm starting to learn about God. It's not so much what we can do, but it's what we'll let him do through us. He can bestow some things upon us that we can make a big impact on people.
Yeah.
Amen.
What about Elijah? Mount Carmel. One against 850. To pull down a stronghold that the enemy had in that place. Idol worship. And they were having an impact on that whole area. So much so that people were hiding that believed in God.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
And on Mount Carmel, the Lord showed himself, sending down fire to set the record straight. This is the way I feel like we are now. There's so much evil pressing against each and every person. And what the enemy does, he tries to catch you when you're by yourself. And then he bombards you. Bombards you through the outside world. You have to take this on. You have to tolerate this. You have to tolerate that. No, we don't. We can be like Elijah and take on the 850. Let me tell you what God can do. That should be our stance.
Yeah.
Mount Hermon. Let's turn to Mark 9, 2 and 9. 2 through 9. As I was thinking about this scripture, I went back to the Old Testament and found that this was the place that Joshua killed all the kings. Oh. Mount Hermon. The same place where all the kings were killed. Now, as we read this, what takes place on this mountain? Mark 9, 2 through 9.
And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter.
After James, 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter,
James and John, and
leadeth them up to a high mountain. There it is again, the high mountain. By themselves. Where's the rest of the disciples? Jesus chose not to take them. He had a particular blessing for Peter, James, and John. And what happened up there?
And he was transfigured.
He was transfigured before them.
And his raiment became shining,
exceeding white as snow,
so as no fuller on earth
can white them.
And there appeared unto
them Elias with Moses.
And while they were talking with Jesus.
And
Peter answered and said to Jesus.
Master,
is it good for us to be here? And let us make three tabernacles. One for thee. One for Moses. One for Elias.
Let me tell you why he took Peter up there. Peter had a wandering problem. One minute, he's backing Jesus. And if it's too hot, we know how Peter was. Go hide. Now he wants to make three tabernacles. Peter was impulsive. Jesus wanted him to get it straight. Let God tell you who I am. Read on. For he wist not what to say.
For they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud
that overshadowed them.
And a voice came out of the cloud.
Saying,
"This is my beloved son. Hear him. And suddenly,
when they looked round about,
they saw no man anymore.
Save Jesus only with themselves.
And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen. Till the Son of Man had risen from the dead.
Now think about this. This is the same place that Joshua annihilated all the kings, their enemies in the promised land. And here Jesus transfigured on the same mountain. You know what it signified? Triumph. Over everything. Just as Joshua had cleared out the Canaan land, Jesus was allowing Peter, James, and John to see what was going to take place. I'm going to triumph over it all. Only one person standing after the voice spoke, and it was Jesus Christ. The confusion that we find in this world today. This religion, that ideal, the philosophies they teach in school. There's only one that's right. Yeah. Jesus Christ. Amen. He took them to the mountain for that. Yes. Where did Christ ascend from? Mount Olivet? Another mountain. Yeah. As he gave his parting words to his disciples and those that were there with them, he ascended on high. And he left in our hands this great salvation.
Amen.
But in order to get everything that God has for us, we got to go to the mountain. Turn to Psalms 87. We're going to read the whole chapter, Psalms 87.
His foundation is in the holy mountains. The Lord loveth the gates of Zion. More than all the dwelling of Jacob. Glorious things are spoken of thee.
O city of God.
I will make mention of Rahab. And Babylon. To them that know me.
Behold.
Philistia,
Tyre,
Ethiopia,
this man was born there.
And of Zion,
it shall be said,
this and that man was born in her,
and the highest himself shall establish herself.
The Lord shall count
when he rideth up the people,
that this man was born there, as well as the singers,
as the players on instruments,
shall be there.
All my springs are in thee. Pay attention to verse 1. His foundation is in the holy mountain. There's a power source there in the mountain. And many Christians in our world today can't find the power source because they won't go to the mountain. They spend their lives in this struggle and that struggle. The enemy takes them this way, takes them that way. They're affected by what the world does. Changes here, changes there. But if they would just go to the mountain, they would find the power source. The place where God dwells. The place where he takes a person and teaches them about himself. The place where he gives them power to live different than everybody else. And we're not intimidated. When the world is around us, looking at us, because we won't do everything they're doing. It's the mountain. That's where we find it. There's an animal that dwells in a mountain all the time. Mountain goat. You may have seen them. The mountains that most of them dwell in, there are steep cliffs that run all over the place. And those goats can run all over that mountain without slipping and falling. They're spoken of in Song of Solomon 4 and 1. Somebody get that and read that. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove eyes within thy locks. Thy hair is a flock of goats, is as a flock of goats that appear from Mount Gilead. Mm-hmm. You know those goats thrive in the mountain? Even the babies thrive. If we are going to help Christians in this day and time, we have got to lead them to the mountain so that they can get everything that God has for them. So they can have their feet on a solid foundation, that they can get sure footing. That when their mentors or those that are older pass on, they can still live saved. We find a lot of Christians today, they're what they call groupie Christians. All my friends go to church, so I go to church too. As long as it's popular, I'll be there. But as soon as some problems start happening,
Lord help,
you wonder where they are. I don't know if it's for me. If they would go on to the mountain, they would find it's for them. They would find the strength they need to get through the problems of life. Because problems coming. Life is full of them. Whether it be temporal, physical, or spiritual, problems coming. Anybody that wants to follow God, the devil is going to pursue you. But if you will go to the mountain, just like Caleb, give me this mountain.
Yes, Lord.
Caleb didn't
quite understand how it was going to be done. But he knew who the enemy was. He also knew that God would see him through.
Yeah.
And God will see all of us through. But we got to be open. Lord, I've maybe done this for you. I've done that for you. But what do you have in mind? Maybe he wants to bestow some special power on you that you can help deliver those souls that are bound. Those that are not sure of themselves. Those that are affected so much by the world. Maybe you can be that one that importunes for them as they work themselves up that mountain. Mm-hmm. Watch your spot right there. It's a little slippery.
Yes.
I'll labor with you in prayer till you get the victory you need.
Yeah.
You can tell people what the view is like from the mountain.
That's true.
This is where we're going. Can you see it? I am convinced that when God put this salvation together, he put enough in it to carry through every generation throughout the annals of time. And if anyone is having trouble or struggling in their walk, encourage them to go to the mountain. The work they put in to get that kind of experience, they won't give up easy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Walk with God for 3 years, well, it just didn't quite work out. God means for us to walk with him till our dying breath.
That's right. Yeah.
He means for us to visit him in the mountain. He has special blessings there. During the hardest times of life, he'll be right there.
That's
right. When loved ones pass away, situations happen that we don't understand. He gives something extra to those that have gone to the mountain. And people look at him and say, well, how can you go through that? I've been to the mountain. And I found God to be true. I found him to meet every need that I had. But if we consider Caleb and Joshua, they didn't let their age hinder them.
No.
They went in their 40s as spies. Mm-hmm. And they stood on the promise that God said, I will give you every land your foot walketh on.
Yeah.
And spiritually, everywhere we dare to trot, under the direction of God, he's going to give us what we need in those places. And we need it more now than ever.
Yeah.
As people are moving off the scene, we need more people to come to the mountain. Where God can take their life and create something special.
Amen.
If these various examples, if they never went to the mountain, we would never be reading about it. But this is 2017 and we're still reading about it.
Yeah.
We're still being encouraged by it.
Thank the Lord.
These men were hungry.
Yeah.
And Caleb said, give me this mountain.
Yeah.
Pray for me.
Amen.